the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft, here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
In the city where I now hang my hat, as in our nation's capital, a run-of-the-mill conservative who admits to being a conservative is a pretty rare find. Ottawa is mostly about politics, of course, and mostly about federal politics. And the party that historically holds sway is the Liberal Party of Canada. It's kind of the king of the roost. Just the other day, Ottawa Mayor Jim Watson, once upon a time a Liberal cabinet minister at Queen's Park, announced that the city had declared itself to be in a climate emergency. That's right, a climate emergency. It had nothing to do with the flooding in many parts of the outlying burbs. The whole province is experiencing spring flooding in various degrees of seriousness. But a general climate emergency, it appears to be the new thing. Kingston has already done it. So too has Hamilton. No, the reason for the climate emergency declaration has a lot to do with Environment Minister Catherine McKenna, who insists our planet will sustain us for another 12 years unless we step up and do something about it. Like what, you rightly ask? Well, by declaring a climate emergency and throwing $250,000 at it to study, yes, study, how to move the city to renewable energy. Renewable energy, of course, has been an expensive disaster thus far, with the former McGuinty Wynn Liberals spending billions upon billions on renewable energy schemes. Yet wind power supplies less than 8% of the province's electricity, solar panels less than 2%. The rest, 90%, comes to us as clean can be through water flow or hydro or nuclear power. Yet the Liberals are still grasping at straws, just not plastic straws, of course. That would be environmentally unfriendly and just not done. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590. I'm Angelo Viola. That was Mark Bonikoski.
Yes.
Ranting a little bit this morning, was he?
Yeah. He does it a lot.
Stephen Labadie behind the glass. Derek Brandeo, Andrew Holland at the board today, keeping us honest. And joining me now live in studio, I talked about this young man earlier in the program. His name is Zach Miller, and he was on the show last time, about 5 years ago. And the first thing I noticed, he is twice the size as last time he was in. Good morning, Zach. How are you, man?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us this morning. Wow, have you grown.
I mean, I'd hope so in 5 years.
Wow, have you grown. Exactly. That's all I got to say. Last time Zach was here, you were what, 14, I want to say?
I would want to say 13 or 14, 13, yeah.
13 or 14? My God. Yeah, you're looking great, young man.
Thank you. You too.
And thank you. Obviously, you're a fisherman. You learned to lie right off the bat. So first things first, Zach was on the program when he was last on the program.
2014.
Yeah. He was at that time going through a bout with leukemia. ALL, I believe it was called.
T-cell ALL.
So first of all, talk to us about that. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. I've been completely free and kind of a normal guy health-wise.
Wow.
For the last 2 years. So yeah, I'm completely in the clear now.
Good for you, buddy. Yeah. Good for you. Without getting into those darker days, obviously you had. I understand you spent some time at Camp Pooch. They were on the program 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I did. That was quite the experience. I wish I did that a couple more times throughout the whole experience. But I only went once, and I truly did enjoy every aspect of what they do up there.
So for folks who might not be familiar with it, Camp Poochagias, as it's called, we call it Camp Pooch here. Is a wonderful program. It initiates from sick kids. In fact, they've got a wonderful operation right downtown, not far from sick kids. I'm sure you've seen that one, Zach,
with the very nice
climbing wall and all
that
stuff.
Great.
But they give children an opportunity that are going through treatments like Zach was. Give them an opportunity to spend a summer at camp. The facility has got every possible medical tool available to them so that these kids can enjoy a regular summer camp, and that's the whole thing about it. And yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
It's everything up there, the resources and all the volunteers. I can't really speak any more highly of. They were a complete class act, and the fact that they came up and took a chunk of time out of their busy lives to come up and really put on the best show they possibly could for the kids going there. They have a lot of cool activities. Their facility's great, and overall, it's really good. Just taking your when I was there, it was good just taking your mind off things.
I was going to say, obviously, it's designed to allow kids to get away from that drudgery.
Definitely. Yeah,
that is cancer. And did it work for you?
When I went up there, it was a relatively rocky patch in that whole 4 or 5 year kind of experience. But it was it really did give me a full. No, it would give me a full removal of really what was going on. It was much needed, I would say, for sure.
So, and you got to play with fishing.
There
which,
you go.
Which is the main deal.
That's
right?
That's it.
Talk to us about your fishing since we last were on the air with you. What have you been doing in terms of fishing? I heard from your mother that you're looking to get into or have already gotten into some tournaments, some competitive fishing.
Yeah, I did that when I was younger in high school, but it was like a high school kind of tour thing, and it was good. It was a good experience. I want to get into it more when I grow older and kind of get a career kind of patting down, because it's tournament fishing's kind of a financial game.
You need a financial loss.
There you go, exactly. And I'm not exactly. I'm a struggling college student, so
yeah,
tournament fishing's more of a future game.
I don't want to sound negative on it. I don't want to discourage anybody that's your age is thinking about getting involved in tournaments here, because we have a few Canadians that are doing extremely well. Unfortunately, they have to apply their trade down south of the border. Mm-hmm. Our tournament series here in Canada, B1 being probably the most recognized as far as a national body goes. They're getting there, but there's just not enough to be won yet in terms of dollars. But it's a great way to cut your teeth on tournament fishing,
very
let me
true.
Tell you. Much like our two champ. Actually, I shouldn't say that. We have more than two representatives, Canadians that are doing well south of the border. But, of course, the Johnson brothers are the ones that come to mind each time, Chris and Corey. But there's others as well that are doing well. It can be done, so I don't want to discourage you. And it's a lot of fun. But you have to be, and I think I sense that you are, you have to be a very competitive person.
Very true, yeah.
Right? You have to almost be, your love of competition has to almost be at the same level of your love of fishing.
For sure.
Because if it's not, then it kind of takes away from the
whole it's kind of like that added, it's like a thrill seeker kind of.
Exactly.
Exactly. Fishing against the clock is something, it's a different experience.
It's a
altogether.
Whole different ballgame. Talk to me about first of all, what are you doing in school now? Where what do you want to be?
I want to be a firefighter with a trade, hopefully, if all goes well. I just finished my first year of my kind of post-secondary plan here. And I went to Fleming for a plumbing course. And then next year I'm going to Seneca for firefighting.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for – well, you got the size for firefighting. Well, I'll tell you what. How tall are you?
I'm like 6'1", 6 foot.
Oh, my God. That's two of me. that picture you just showed me about you holding that giant pike, where'd you get that?
That was actually almost – like a year to the day. It was downtown in the Toronto Islands. Me and my buddy Michael Ah, we went down to the Toronto Islands to really kind of dip our toe into the urban fishing kind of thing, and it turned out pretty well. We lost two when I caught that 38-inch pike. Probably around 20 pounds. It was ridiculously ridiculously good experience. It kind of opened my eyes to the whole urban fishing game.
I think I was telling you when you first came in this morning, I'm no stranger to that area for fishing. In fact, we've shot several programs there. One that I was particularly fond of and involved in, we did catch some humongous pike. But we've also done largemouth bass shows. We've done carp shows.
For sure.
We've done smallmouth bass shows. I mean, it is a mecca for anglers, and people don't even know it's there.
Nobody knows. It's kind of like a hidden gem in such a a pressured kind of area for sure.
It is a little unnerving when those swan rides go by, and
that's exactly where I caught it too. I caught that pike right actually in the pond right outside of the amusement park there on Center Island.
It's a great area. Wonderful fishery, and I encourage everybody listening that wants to, especially newbies that want to get into fishing and they don't want to necessarily go out to the pristine wilderness of Northern Ontario.
Sure.
Go south, baby. Go to the islands. It's fantastic.
For sure.
Any fishing adventures planned here in the near future?
In the near future, hopefully if this weather rights itself and that doesn't flood everything in sight.
It's crazy, man.
I would want to hit pike opener up in northern Kawartha's, walleye opener. I've already hit rainbow opener, steelhead opener, and then kind of just musky bass opener, kind of just around Cachabog.
So it sounds like you enjoy all forms of angling. You haven't narrowed it down to, you know, one thing yet, right?
I kind of have my two loves, musky fishing and bass fishing, but I kind of have that sickness and that bug where I got to do whatever's up next.
Whatever it takes, right?
Whatever's up next.
Do you do much steelhead fishing?
I do before all the like walleye, pike, and all that stuff opens. I do a lot of it in the rivers. Yeah. Yeah, I try to at least.
I used to spend a lot of time in the local rivers, right from Wilmot all the way to Duffins Creek.
That's the go-to.
Yeah,
the Wilmot and Duffins actually.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you a story. Probably you're going to say, "What are you nuts?" But I was like 12 years old. I used to hitchhike to Bowmanville from Oshawa Sunday mornings to go fishing. But we could do that back then, right?
Yeah.
You know, a little kid with a fishing rod, and
there you go.
Stick your thumb out and off you go.
It's a crazy good area up there.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. But I'm not encouraging kids to get out hitchhiking, by the way, just in case.
not in 2019.
Anyways, I don't want to get into that.
Uber it.
There you go. You can Uber. Why can't you? That's a great idea.
Just Uber it, man.
That's a good idea.
Uber you right to the
river and drop you off.
It's fantastic.
That's a great idea.
Wow. Why didn't I think of that? Write that down. I want to
Uber fishing?
Some fishing Uber enterprise of some sort, for sure. So you said before you're all clear and free and
everything's great.
How often do you get back? Do you have to go back and have the folks check you?
I have a yearly checkup now, but I aged out a sick kid, so it's a relatively new experience every year at Princess Margaret.
And I think I asked you back then, but let me ask you again. This just came out of nowhere, right? You
were
just a normal, happy-go-lucky 12-year-old kid.
There you go.
And
I was, I think it was 2008, so I was eight, so I was relatively, it was kind of coming to me when I was at hockey kind of thing, where it was like I would be ridiculously tired when I wasn't usually ridiculously tired and kind of just was drained all the time. And then we kind of said, actually, a mother on the hockey team said, you should go get him checked out. Yeah, and then thank God she did, because that's what caught it.
Wow. Anyways, it's great to hear you are over it, my friend, and on the other side, as they say. And it's great to hear that you haven't lost your love and passion for fishing.
It's only grown.
That's the most important
part. Unfortunately,
Can you stay with us for a little bit longer?
For sure.